This year was made available the Ili Nishmas
Rav Rebleze ben Rav and Tzion Gavriel Hamburger, that's all.
Sochim, Mem Omed Aleph, 12 shores after Gemara spreads. Hoda Omar Rav. Before Rav said that it's also to wet the grain that you're going to use to eat on Pesach, because the sisa, the wetting of the grain, tends to make it chametz. Grain, when it gets wet, tends to become fermented. Hold that omer of afterwards, Rabbi says, mutar, it's mutar to wet the grain. The Tanya will learn the Baraisa. Yoitzin be pasne kiyo behandwa. Yoitzin matze pasne kiyo. If it's clean bread, means without any kind of soilus and the hadara, or if it's low class bread, any kind of matzah, whether it's high class or low class. Now the high class matzah, pasnakia, called hadroi, I efshel nekia balolis. You can't have pasnakia unless you wash the grain previously. You wash off the grain, you get rid of the dust and other things. That's the only way you can have pasnakia. And if it states you can be yetzer with the pasnakia from matzah, so you see, it's mutar to wash the grain. Otherwise, you wouldn't have pasnakia. Say that. Eisve Rav Popolov, Yase Kasha. Popolov says it's mutar lilsis. It's mutar to wet the grain, to wash the grain. We learn Akimochim, Maslotes, Kemach, and Solis. Shel Nochrim, that belongs to Goyim. Now we don't know what the Goyim did to it. So we say, Shel Kforim, if it's, I'm not talking about, Shel Kforim, if it comes from villages where people are not fastidious, not so fancy, and therefore they don't wash the grain. To her. Now this is not talking about Pesach at all. This B'lais has nothing to do with Pesach. It has to do with Taharas. The din is, anything that's a food, payas, anything else, is not mekabel tume unless it was washed, it was wetted. Huchshele kabel tume by mashke. All oichlin, in order to be capable of becoming tume, tumas oichlin, have to be muchshele kabel tume by some mashke. Now the question is, the grains or the flour that you buy from goyim, there's nobody to ask. Can't trust goyim. The question was a hukshele kabel tume, and it became a kamei tamei or not. So if it's from kforim, small villages where the goyim live poorly, so they don't bother to wash their grain, so it's toya, because it shows, because we know, but never hukshele kabel tume, they don't wash their grain. The shel krochim, but you buy from goyim in the big towns where they're more fastidious, and there they do wash the grain before grinding it. It's mekabel tumah. Now, the kforim, my timer, hello, my timer. What's the reason in the villages? You say that it's toher. Lav, isn't it? Mishum, to lo lusose. They don't wash it. So when you buy from small village Gentiles, whether it's kemach is ordinary flour, or soilus, a special fine flour. In any case, it's toher, because you know it hasn't been washed. Now, if it hasn't been washed, so the question is, how can it become a fine flour? And still, the kokoil is said to call it fine flour. So you see, it's possible to have fine flour without washing the grain. So what was Rav's proof about? that it's mutter to wash the grain for Pesach. But there's a yetzer with pasnikio, and the pasniki means from service. Pasnik cannot be unless you washed, Rabbi says, unless you wash the grain. Therefore, you see, it's mutter to wash the grain for Pesach. Not necessarily so. You can have pasniki without washing the grain. Don't you see here, if you buy it from the Gentiles who live in small villages, service, it's toher, but they say, we're not hushed, we're not washed, and still they call it service, say the cash. Arguma, explain it, akimcho, it means. The soilus is always tame, because it's always washed. And this baraisa, you have to put in a pair as follows. Akimochim, vaslote shel mochim, shel kforim. Now, solotes is in parenthesis. It means it's always tame. It's always washed. And the kmochim is tahirin because they don't wash it. Shel kochim tmeim because they wash it. Now, so according to Rabbi, the Baraisa is mentioning two things. One thing he mentions, just in parenthesis, the soilus of nochim is always tame. Because it's impossible to have a soilus unless you washed it. But on kemochim, we have to make this modification. If it comes from small villages, it's torah because they don't wash. Now, how is that such an awkward, clumsy kind of baraisa? It could be that the baraisa originally just said kemochim and salotas are tmeim. And then it was added a perish later to it, that if it's kemochim of kforim is tehir. Many times it happens that way, that baraisas are built up by accretion. They add more perushim, and the result is somewhat awkward. We call it litzdoding tani. So there, according to Rava, the word salotis, salas, is just a statement that salas, if you buy, is of nochem, is always tame, because always was wedded. Otherwise, you couldn't have service. But on the Kemachim, the Baraisa makes a distinction between Kfarim and Krochim. Say that. After Rabbi walked out, Omar, our papa said, why did I let him get away? My time is lo emo lemo. Why didn't I tell him from the following? I have a proof from the following. A maimer of important Amaroyim. Omar Rabbi Zeh, Omar Rabbi Yemir, Omar Shmuel, Chitin Shal Manoches, HaKov Mincha cannot be Chametz. It's always Matzah. Doesn't have anything to do with Pesach. HaKov Mincha cannot be Chametz all year round. Chitin, that are for the purpose of bringing a Mincha Shal Manoches, and laces, you shouldn't wash them. Shouldn't wash them. And still, we know that you have to have soilus blue lo b'ashema, has to be fine flour, and still they call korah tera called it soilus. So you see, you can have a soilus from unwashed grain. Again, Shmuel said you cannot wash the grain for a kol mincha, but you know that you have to have soilus. So you see that from unwashed grain, it does produce soilus. The proof against Rava say that. Now, at the beginning, last time we had learned, Rava said, is also lilsis, also to wash the grain. Today we started learning, Rava already said, it's mutter to wash the grain. And later Rava said, it's a mitzvah to wash the grain for Pesach. Hoda Omar Rava, after Rava said, mitzvah lilsis. What's a mitzvah? Now, he'll bring you a proof, but the story is because it's mitzvah min amuvcho, when you're going to do a mitzvah, they have a more delicious kind of matzah. Also from chitin of menaches. Mitzvah lilsis. Any kind of mitzvah is better to wash the grain, even though the grain has to be not chametz, but lesisa, we're not afraid of chametz. Shenem. Now it brings a proof that we do wash the grain for Pesach. It says, Vishmaltem esam matzes. You have to wash the matzes. Watch. You have to guard the matzes against chavetz. Now, guarding means against wetness that causes it to ferment. Now, if not for the fact the boiler sees that it needs washing, it needs to be washed, wetted the grain, shimur lamai, what do you need a shimur for? Whoever takes it that the shimur means you have to watch it, you have to guard it, because it has to be washed. Once it has to be washed, you have to be careful, it shouldn't remain wet too long, you should quickly dry it up, because it might ferment. That's all it takes. I will soon see what kind of proof that is. But first, just the translation of the words.
Okay.
It's a mitzvah of shmaltem es ha-matzus. Matz has to be shmura. It's a mitzvah of shmura. Matz has to be watched, guarded. Now, and Rav learns guarded, the whole time has to be guarded. Not just at the end. At the beginning, what is there to guard the matzus? If they guard the grain, because you're washing it. If you don't wash the grain, I would say, why you have to guard it? That itself is not such a good proof to our minds, because you might have to guard it against rain, but maybe there's not a rainy season, I don't know what to say. But whoever holds that the guarding of the grain is against wetting it by washing. So although you have to wash it, but that's why the Torah says, because you have to wash it, have to wet it, in order to make matzah, that's why you have to guard it. But wedding makes it necessary to guard it. Now, ishimo delisha, if you think, means you should watch it. When you are kneading the dough, you shouldn't let the dough rise too much and become chametz. No. Shimo delisha, lav shimo. That shimo is not enough to make it called shimo. One of them, remekayim, matzah shmuro, that you have to do it. In order to be yetzir pesach l'ayin matzah, has to be Masa Shmura, just guarding it. At the time that you're making the dough, that's not enough. It's not called Shmura. How do I know that? Omar, Rav Huni, B'tzeke Shomachim. If you want to buy a dough made by a goy, suppose a goy on Pesach made a dough, you saw him make a dough, you saw him make the dough. Of course, he brought a dough to you, and you don't know anything about it. So it's a shash, or it could be, even though you didn't see him make the dough. But in those days, people were bulky. They could look at the dough and see there were no cracks in it, and the surface didn't turn white yet. That's a sign it didn't become to ferment. Those days, you could look at the dough. So a goy brought dough to you on Pesach. Is mutter to use it? To eat. Samase. Just to eat. Because you look at it, you see it's not chametz. You see, there are no cracks in it. As a sign, there's no sign that didn't have any gas fermenting. The gas ferments, so a surface cracks, and the gas comes out through the cracks. Or the surface turns pale white. But since it doesn't have these simonim of chametz, you can buy these doughs from a goy. Or the memale kesa, you can fill your stomach with it. You can eat all you want. However, you won't be yetze at the seder. You have to eat a kezayis matzah at the end, means matzah shmura to be yetzer. To eat l'shem mitzvah, you have to eat at least one piece of matzah shmura, kezayis. The other thing that you bought from the goy is not chametz, but it's lacking shmura. It's lacking the shmira, l'shem mitzvah, but not chametz. Now, the question is, b'achrino, if you eat a kezayis matzah, shmura at the end, then you eat it. But if you eat this, b'tzekes of a goy, make matzah from the dough that a goy brought, which you know is not chametz, you're not yetze. Again, only b'achrina. If you eat a kezayis of shmura, then you eat it. But b'reshina, with the b'tzekes, the dough that a goy brought, if you eat, you're not yetze, the mitzvah of matzah shmura. My time, why not? Why can't you say, after the goy brought it to you, you keep your eye on it from now on, it shouldn't become a chametz, it's a dough. And you should take care that while you're shaping the dough into the shape of the matzah, and you're ready to put it into the stove to bake, You have to guard it. It shouldn't become chametz. Let's say you have a kind of mitzvah of shmira. It should be called matzah shmura because of that shmira. You say no. My time, why isn't it good? Didn't make a real shmira. A goy didn't guard a matzah the same shmura. And you took it from the goy, and all you did was prepare it for the baking. Let him make shima from the baking on. It doesn't mean from baking on, it means from the preparation to the baking. While you're taking the dough from the goy and you're preparing it for baking, it takes some time to shape it and so on and lay it out in order to prepare it for baking. So why don't you say that's the shimur? And you're fulfilling the mitzvah of shmua, and you could use, why couldn't you use the dough from the goy for a matzah to be yetzah, a mitzvah pesach night? But you're making a shimur after the goy gives it to you and you're guarding it until it's finally baked? Answer is, alav shmam, you know, shimur mikobim, nishmir before it becomes a dough. Nishmir, from the time that the goy puts in the water into the flour in nishmir. And that we didn't do, the goy did it. So you see, it's not enough. The tail end of the shmira. You have to have an earlier shmira. That's what Rove says. Now, there's not the whole subject, however. So Rove holds, Rove is bringing a proof that shmira, mishas, afio, to see that the dough doesn't rise before you bake it, or while it's being baked, shouldn't be baked too slowly. It should be baked quickly. It shouldn't ferment. That's not called shmira otherwise. But take a shalnochim, a great broad dough, why couldn't you be ace with it? You want to watch it while it's being prepared and being baked? So we see that's not called shmira. So at least we have learned from this that shmira requires at least starting from the time that you put water into the flour. Now actually, Rove says more than that. Rove requires earlier shmira than that. When Rove said, shmira is when you start putting water on top of the grain, when you wash the grain. Just like you see here, a little bit of shmira, not enough. The end tail of the shmira, not enough. When the goy brings you a dough. When the goy brings you a dough, and you're able to wash it from now until it's baked, that's not enough. So we see you have to have a shmira that can includes all the possibilities. So that means even before, when the goy put the water into the flour. Now, if it means all possibilities, then it means also from the beginning, as soon as the grain is ready to be washed, while it's still grain, also a possibility. So what is all that proving? That a mixer shmir is not called shmir. You need a perfect shmir. If a mixer shmir is enough, why shouldn't it be enough if you watch it after the goy brings you the dough? You watch it from the end on until it's baked. So you see a little bit of shmir, not enough. You have to have more shmira. Now, what is more shmira? All the shmira is necessary, including putting the water into the flour that the goy had done in his house, and even more than that, even earlier than that, washing the grain before it was ground into the flour at all. While the grain is still grain, it was washed, you have to wash it then too. If a mitzvah shmira is not enough, you have to have a perfect shmira. From that, Rove derives, you need a full shmira. Say that. Oh, my, how do you know that you have to go all the way back to the time when it was grain before it was ground? We need shima for that, and that's your proof that you can wash the grain, or to miss it to wash the grain. Since you need shima so early, it shows that you wash the grain. Who says maybe you don't wash the grain? And the shima that you're talking about could be the shimur when you put the water into the flour. Again, how do you know that all the way back begins the mitzvah of shmir? Dilmo shanes, maybe it's different there. In the case of betzekes and ochri, because the goy didn't bring any Jew to look and watch when he poured the water into the flour. At that time, went into the necessity of shimur, pouring water into the flour. That's a time when you have to wash. You have to guard it. Surely you have to wash. You have to guard it. You pour water into the flour. At that time, when it went into the real necessity of shimur, lo avi l'shimur. Therefore, it's not good. You're not yeshe. Even though you see, subsequently, no cracks in the dough and no whiteness still, even though it's not chometz, but it didn't have shimer. Because the main shimer, what it's trying to say now, is when you pour water into a flour, and that you missed. So we'll agree with you. A mikseh shimer, the tail end, is not enough. The shimer that you make mishas aricha, laying out the dough, we agree with you, not enough, you're not yeshe. You have to have a full shimer. But who said a full shimer is all the way back to a time when you call it lesisa? If it's never a lesisa. And the full shimer is from the time you put water into the dough. Abol heche de biidne de noch the shimer. Over the shimer. Suppose that the time when he came into the necessity of shimer, when he put water in the dough, he had made shimer, he had watched it, he had guarded it. From the time you put water into the dough, maybe hochenami have it. The shima, the leash, have a shima. That kind of shima is a good shima. But who said you have to have shima all the way back? And therefore, it could be you're not laces. Again, Rabbi had said you're laces. You wet the grain. And the proof to it was, since you need shima all the way back, what's the shima for then? Was it wetting the grain? You have to guard it already. Who said you have to watch it from that time on? We say you have to guard it from that time on. Maybe you don't guard it because you don't wear it. There's no need to guard it. Only guarding it when you put water into the flour. Oh, yes, this we agree with you. So this Rav already proved. A mikseh shmir, not called shmir. But who says that you need so much shmir all the way back to that time when it was grain? Maybe you need shmir all the way back to that time that you're putting water into the flour. And that's a complete shmir. And therefore, since we have no proof that any shmir are necessary earlier than that, they have no proof that they wet the grain, say that. And still, despite that argument, Rabbi didn't retract. And Rabbi held that you have to have shimur all the time because of the possibility that they washed the grain. Rabbi said, Lahanu de mahaprikipi. So those who turn over the sheaves in order to tie them up, have to pick them up and lay them down to tie them up, so they turn over the sheaves. So he said, when you do that, start the process of shmir. Ki ma'apchi, so when you turn over the sheaves, ha'pichu l'shem mitzvah, do it l'shem mitzvah, meaning for shmir l'shem mitzvah. Start the shmir. All the holes, you have to have a complete shmir from then until the end. Alma v'sika sava shimur mi'kor mi'tchilos al-sefibin. You have to have shmir from the beginning till the end. And Rove, therefore, says, since we insist on shmir while it's still grain, so we see that there's a good possibility that the grain was washed. Why is it so? If you're usher to wash the grain, then you don't have to watch. No, nobody will do it. So you must say it's a mitzvah to watch the grain with water in order to make good matzah. Since it's a mitzvah, that's why you have to be very careful from the beginning to keep your eye on it, because when they're washing it, they shouldn't make it chametz. Now, this little sugya here is not so simple, and it needs more payers than what you heard, but do the best you can. Ravina's son followed this chumre of Rabbi. Mankitelaim, his mother used to pick for him the grain at the very beginning when it was being cut. She picked ears of grain be'arbi in baskets for her son. Probably was still a bocha. Don't say his wife did it. She used to pick for her son. And all he had matzah shmura from the very beginning. Now it looks like others didn't do that because it was a chumre. It could be others didn't accept it. But since he followed all of his chumres, his mother used to pick the grain for him. That was around whenever the grain was being prepared. That's maybe in Sukkot's time, maybe earlier. And at that time she prepared the grain in baskets full in order that her son should have matzah shmura and pesach from the earliest possible time. Say that. is used for a ship, a boat, and is used also for big baskets. Now, there was a boat of grain. A boat of grain, the tova that sank in Chishtin, the river Chishtin. And that was a problem, because the water was submerged for some while, so it's washed the grain. And it's more than washed the grain. It was submerged. So it's a shash of chametz. Shora rove, shayav rove permitted the zbunel enoch to sell it to Goyim. Couldn't sell it to Jews, sold it to Goyim. Esve rabe bali, we asked the kashan rove. How can you sell it to Goyim? Aren't you afraid that Goyim will sell it back to Jews? When you learn beged, shobad boi kilayim. Suppose there's a beged. And you know, there's a thread of kilayim, let's say a woolen garment. And you know, there's one thread of linen that was sewn in, but you know where it is. That thread got, or linen got lost. It's sewn in someplace. So you can't use the entire beged. He shouldn't sell it to a goy, because a goy might sell it back to Israel. He shouldn't even make it a saddle for the donkey. A saddle for a donkey, al pidin is mutar, because it's a hard place. Anything hard that you sit on, no isha of shatnas. You spread it on the back of a donkey, back of the bony, and the saddle is hard, so it's not really sharpened. Only we're afraid that he might need sometimes a piece of that beggar to make a patch, so he'll take a piece from this saddle and sew it into his garment. So therefore you can't even use it as a saddle cloth for your donkey. But you can make it a shroud for a dead body, because once you assign it with a dead body, it becomes osa bahanoya, and no shash, anybody will ever use it for himself. Now, Lenochri, in my time, why can't you sell it to a goy? Love, isn't it Mishum? The Hoda Mezab and Isa. The goy might go and sell it to Yisrael. So, how could Rabbi permit this submerged grain to sell to a goy? Why aren't you afraid the goy will sell it to Yisrael and Yisrael will use it on Pesach? Say the Kashi. Hoda Omar Rabbi. Afterwards, Rabbi said, this binu, they should sell it kave kave in small amounts to Israel before Pesach. In order it should be used up kame pesach before Pesach. So you can sell it for to a goy, you can also sell it in small amounts. Goy will use it up. You can even sell it to Israel with small amounts that you're sure will be used up before Pesach. Can't sell it in big amounts. And now, new Indian. Tana Rabbonon, a Moilalina Sagdera be Pesach. You cannot thicken the soup with flour on Pesach. Let's say you have a soup, and you usually pour in some flour to make the soup thicker. You can't do that because the flour will be machmas, or turn chomets. Not talking about matzah flour. Matzah flour can never become chomets because it's flour from baked matzahs. It means ordinary flour, you can't pour into the soup on Pesach because the flour will become chametz, even though it's in hot water, because it's not boiling water, so you can't put it in. We're afraid that the flour will become chametz in the soup. Well, if somebody wants, there's one way you can do it. You want to thicken the soup with flour. Notice this, I cannot. You put in the flour in the soup, and then you pour vinegar on top of it. Vinegar is supposed to be there in that soup anyhow, so you pour vinegar, the vinegar binds, it tightens up the flour that shouldn't become chametz. Doesn't allow it to become leaven. The vinegar stops the chemical processes of the leavening, which you call astringent. That's also astringent by laws, a number of places. Same as. So therefore, if you'll pour vinegar onto the flour, into the soup, now even though the vinegar is poured into the flour is in the soup already, it's mutter. It's mutter. No. You pour flour into, it seems you pour flour, I don't know for sure, but I'll just guess. You'll pour the flour first into the empty plate where you're going to put the soup, and then you pour vinegar on top of the flour. Now this sheet holds, vinegar is effective only when the vinegar is not diluted. So you're pouring vinegar on top of the flour, it is sumus, it binds the flour up, it shouldn't ferment. And that flour, when later be mixed with the soup that you pour in, it'll never become chametz. But the yesh emet, the second sheet holds, you can put the soup, the chametz in first. Put the chametz in. Now once the chametz gets in and it mixes with the soup, it's diluted, still, you can put in the flour. Although the flour now falling into chametz that's in dilute, that's diluted, it's much. I'll say it again, I'll do it, this whole thing. Tana Rabban, go back some lines. Tana Rabban, a mildness like there because it cannot mix in flour in the soup to thicken the soup on Pesach. But the flour will get chametz. We are sheyim. If you want to do that, notice that you put the flour in. Seems you put the flour into the soup, not an empty plate. Put the flour into the soup, and you pour, you pour the undiluted vinegar on top of the flour in the soup. And it'll cause the flour in the soup to become tight and won't ferment, won't become chametz. But put the vinegar into the soup and then pour the flour into that, no good. But once the vinegar gets into the soup, it's diluted and it loses its strength. You can put in the vinegar into the soup, even though it's diluted, because when you put in vinegar, it even is diluted, and then you put in the flour won't be able to ferment. That's a machlekes, if diluted vinegar will stop the fermenting or not. Now, man yesh emre, who is the yesh emre? Omer avchista rabbi hudehi. The Buddha holds that if you have even a diluted vinegar, it can prevent the flour from becoming chametz, like we'll soon see. First, you have to hear. Maybe I confuse you, I'll say it again once more this way. Tanakama holds that when you put the flour into the soup, you can pour vinegar on top of it. But when you put the vinegar in the soup, it won't help to put the flour on top of it. So again, when you put the flour into the soup and pour vinegar on top of it, the vinegar is coming down strong, undiluted. But when you put the vinegar into the soup, then put flour on top of that, it's coming into diluted vinegar, it won't work. And yesh emet, it will work. So who the yesh emet that diluted vinegar works? It's up to you, like we'll soon see. Say that now. Man yesh emet. Who is that mandoma who says that you even diluted vinegar can also have such a strong effect? Omar Rav Chista, Rabbi Hudi. The time, now we learn. But following, it has nothing to do with Pesach. The din about Shabbos. Or ilpis, a pot. Another pot. You took him off the fire on Shabbos, or the stove on Shabbos, and it's boiling hot. It's hot. Lo yitin the second tavlin. You shouldn't put any tavlin. Let's say you shouldn't put any onions or garlic into it, because even though it's off the fire, but a clear ishim is mevasher. By putting pieces of onions and garlic in the hot pot that you took off the fire, it causes them to be cooked. Remember, it's not on the fire anymore. But since it's a clear ishim, so the pieces of onion, the tavlin, will be cooked if you put them in. You can't put them in. But you can pour from that pot into a plate with a klisheni. A klisheni, not mevashel. Or the sechatam plate. Or another kind of a dish. A klisheni. And the klisheni, if you pour the soup, then you can put into that onions and garlic. But onions and garlic and the klisheni, it won't be in this basha. Rabbi Yehuda, amen. You can put any kind of cliche. He agrees with the Tanakhama. And a cliche, you can put onions or garlic. However, one case not. Chutz midover shiyed b'chemes. It's here. If the cliche chemes has chemes vinegar, or it's here. It's here means a sharp juice that comes out of fish, let's say. Fish juice. A sharp juice. So these sharp things, together with the heat of the klisheni, will cause the piece of onions to cook. A klisheni, not mevashel, but a klisheni, together with the chemical action of the vinegar, the heat of the klisheni, which is not enough to cook by itself. Klisheni and mevashel. But if it's joined by the chemical action of vinegar, will cause it to cook if you put a piece of onion in there. So therefore we see Yehuda holds, even though the vinegar, which is already in the soup, is diluted, still it has enough power to affect what you put in and cook it. So the same is also when it comes to the Pesach, it holds even diluted vinegar, and you pour in the flour on top of that, the vinegar has enough power to prevent the flour from becoming chametz. Again, now. Just like Abhidha says, it's also to put pieces of onion and garlic into a klisheni on Shabbos. If there is vinegar already there, for the vinegar, together with the heat of a klisheni, will cook those pieces of onion and garlic. So we see it as diluted vinegar. It still has a power to do something. The same is for Pesach. If you have vinegar already in the tafshil, and you pour in the kemach, the power of the vinegar, even though it's diluted, will prevent the camera from becoming leaven. Becoming chametz. Say that. One moment. Why don't you explain it? Kabbi Yese. The Tanya. Kabbi Yese Eina. Shoyron the chametz. You can soak it in vinegar. The chametz saves it. And vinegar binds it up. It shouldn't become chametz. So you see, you put something into the vinegar, it becomes chametz. Even though you're not pouring vinegar on it. Put it into the vinegar. You might say it's not good enough proof. Because when they hear from Rabbi Yose that vinegar will have that effect, even though you put it into the vinegar, and it's only when the vinegar is by itself. But we need a case where vinegar is diluted, it should still have an effect. That Rabbi Yose didn't say. But if vinegar is mixed with something else, Rabbi Yose didn't say it'll have any effect. Stop.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow the Avigda Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigda.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.